retreat, to make like a retreat type of situation with a temple, maybe not as big as we had planned before, but, you know, a temple would be usable, where people can stay overnight, many people can stay overnight, worship the deities, and have a retreat, a spiritual retreat. So it's, and then we have a big property here, we're going to turn more of it into farming land, so people can come and see a beautiful farm, and also a nice walkway by a river. We have 1,500 feet of river frontage here. So it's a park environment that we really haven't developed. So there's many, many different plans that are in the pipeline for New Goloka. So it's very exciting. In fact, I'm very excited about this. And then, you know, preaching center in the Cary, Morrisville area too. And maybe a restaurant there. We were talking about this the other week. A nice restaurant that can attract people from all walks of life to take up Krishna consciousness. So it's really expanding. Of course, we do have our center in Chapel Hill, the Krishna West Center. And we have another center that I'm going to show at the end of my talk that's in China. It's called Krishna Far East. And I'm going to show somewhat of the success. I just came from Chicago, where I was talking to one of my godbrothers, Romabad Maharaj, and who's done amazing programs there with thousands of Chinese devotees chanting and dancing, but in traditional Chinese outfits with traditional Chinese instruments and traditional Chinese version of Bharat Natyam. It's not really Bharat Natyam, it's Chinese Natyam. You know, Natyam means dancing, and Bharat means Hindi, of course, Persian. So it's interesting how Krishna consciousness has been adapted to the culture there and how enthusiastic the people are. I'm going to show you the video. But before that, I'm going to chant Jai Radha Madhava, and after Jai Radha Madhava, we're going to talk about the prequel to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, that's interesting. Some of you who watch movies know about prequels and sequels. Does anyone know what a sequel or a prequel is? No, no one knows. Prequel means what happens before, and sequel means what happens afterwards. So, in Krishna's pastimes, there are prequels and sequels, and in mundane pastimes, there's prequels and sequels. And Hollywood and Bollywood make money on prequels and sequels. And Krishna already has money, so he doesn't need money. He makes devotees with prequels and sequels. How's that? Okay, short Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjari Hari.
Jaya 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 J
Vishnupad, Padamahamsa, Paramahacharya, Uttara, Satrishi, Shiva, Divine Grace of Ayachavana, Rakhbarana, Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, ISKCON, Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Ananda Gopi, Vaishnava, Vrinda, Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas, Thakur, Ki Jai, Purim, Say, Goh, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nichananda, Shri Vaikarana, Shri Vasti, Gaur, Bhakta, Vrinda, Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Goh, Kavadu, Sayam, Kun, Radhagunda, Kiri, Govardhan, Ki Jai, Vrinda, Ki Jai, Maturam Kijai, Sami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Shivanagavasi Kijai, Sukri Bhakta Brindi Kijai, Gora Premananda, all glories is some of the glories, all glories is some of the glories. All glories is she, Guru and Goranga, Shivabhad Kijai. So, Om Ganati Vidanda Shah, Ganana Shabakara, Chakshura, Vidikam, Vienna Tasmai, Shikate Namaha. So, I thought I'd talk about this prequel to 10th Canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, since Janmashtami is coming up and Balaram Purnima is coming up, the appearance of the Lord Balaram and the appearance of the Lord Krishna. So, at the beginning of the 10th Canto, and then we'll go back to the prequel. The beginning of the 10th canto, you find the earth is overburdened with demoniac kings, right? So the question is, how did all those demoniac kings get there? You know, wasn't there any good king? Of course there were some good kings. I mean, Surasena was good. And, of course, before that, Yadu. I mean, there were some, like Yati and other good kings. But basically, the majority of them were of Duryodhana-like caliber. Of course, Duryodhana, the Dhritarashtra character, Shakuni character. So you have a predominance of demons there. So why is that? So in order to understand why that is, let's go back to the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? So this is the prequel. So in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you have this very interesting story. The demigods, that means the devotees, are very powerful. They're in charge of the whole universe, especially the heavenly planets. And Indra's riding on his elephant. Does anyone know his elephant's name?
Yeah.
So he's so happy riding on his elephant. And they drive by. I guess an elephant drives. Or they ride by. They ride by this nice sage named Durvasa. And Durvasa is also glorifying. Oh, it's so wonderful. You're so powerful. You've won over the demons. Haribo, Nitai Gauranga. Because he didn't say Nitai Gauranga. So, and he gives Indra a garland, a victory garland, to honor him. That's nice. Durvasa is still in a good mood at this point. So he gives Indra a garland. And Indra thinks, still this little puny sage. And he takes the garland, puts it on the trunk of his elephant, and the elephant, Aravata, throws the garland to the ground and stomps on it. And so Durvasa, naturally, Durvasa means one with a bad temperament, is also considered a partial expansion of Lord Shiva. So he's Ashutosh, easily angered and easily pleased. So he gets very angry and he curses the demigods to become powerless. And so, once he does that, of course this is the effect of offending a great personality. We should learn from this lesson too. There's many lessons, many different levels of appreciating the stories in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not just a story. There's things that we can use to apply to ourselves. You know, if you offend a great personality, you lose everything. There was one person who offended a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Srivas Thakur. And he just tried to frame him in some other activity. I'm not going to get into the details. And he developed leprosy immediately. And he went to Lord Chaitanya and said, Lord Chaitanya, save me. And Lord Chaitanya said, I, of course, should be bitten by these same worms that are biting all your leprous sores for many, many lifetimes, millions of lifetimes. Wow. So what you're saying is supposed to be merciful. But if one offends a Vaishnava, then you don't know what's going to happen. So anyway, so the demigods become completely hopeless at this point. Demons are in charge of the universe, not just America, but the whole universe. And they didn't even run for election. So they're in charge of the whole universe. And the demigods, they only have one recourse. And this includes Lord Shiva. You know, Lord Shiva is also upset about the whole thing. So what is the recourse? Same thing they do in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. They go to Lord Brahma to make a complaint. They say, there's a problem here. Then, we have a problem. Not Houston, but, you know, we have, that's from Apollo anyway. We have a problem, Satchaloka. And so Lord Brahma naturally does what he does when situations like that arise. He goes to the shore of the ocean of milk and he prays to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu gives instructions at that particular point. And at this particular point, Lord Vishnu's instructions are very interesting. When Krishna appeared, or before Krishna appeared, Lord Vishnu said, you know, take birth on the earth planet. I will take birth with my plenary expansion in Balaram. And you, demigods, should go there and assist me. But at this particular juncture, Lord Vishnu says, look, you can't defeat the demons at this point. However, here's the plan. Make a truce with them. You know, if you can't beat them, join them. So, okay, so I learned something from Vaisheshika this weekend. When someone's phone goes off, they bought a Bhagavad Gita. It's $10 to buy a Bhagavad Gita. This way you distribute a lot of books. That's actually a very good technique. So we have one Bhagavad Gita for him after the class. Two. Phone went off. Okay, so Lord Vishnu says, make a truce. Make a deal with the demons. And what you should do is say that we're going to all churn the ocean of milk and we are going to produce nectar, Amrit, and share it amongst all of us. So the demigods go to the king of the demons. The king of the demons at that time, his name was, would anyone know? Bali, who was the grandson of who? Balad Mara. So they go to Bali. First, all the demons are thinking, what are the demigods doing here? Kill them! But Bali says, you know, cool it. You know, they're not here to fight. They're here to talk. So even the demons in those days, they had some etiquette. So they talk a little bit, make the deal. And another Bhagavad Gita. Next one is going to be a case of Srimad Bhagavatam. Afkaro. Bunkaro. So anyway. Okay, you got it off. Or don't turn it off. I could use another case. So they make this deal. And, of course, Vishnu has instructed them, you've got to use Mount Mandara as a churning rod. Okay, so all the demons, demigods, they go to Mount Mandara, pick it up, and as they're carrying it, it's just too heavy. It crushes them all. They're all just about dead. And so Lord Vishnu says, you know, this is a job for Vishnu. And he picks it up, puts it on the back of Garuda, drives it, or carries it, to the milk ocean and sets it down in the milk ocean. And all the demons and demigods are brought back to life by his glance. And then he tells Garuda, get out of here. Now, why would he tell Garuda to get out of here? Doesn't he like Garuda? Because Vasuki, who's going to be the churning rod, Vasuki is a snake, a nice snake. And Garuda's food is our snakes. He got that as a benediction from Indra. You know, from now on, you can eat snakes for prasadam. So animals can eat different animals. That's the law. The human beings are not allowed to eat flesh. It's just not allowed. Or if they do, they get some karma. You know, you are what you eat, and you will become what you eat. So, anyway, so Vasuki goes there, and the demigods first take the head of Vasuki. But the demons say, this is not fair. Why are you getting the head? We want the head. Now, previously, they had been instructed by Lord Vishnu, don't argue with the demons, just let them have what they want. This is Lord Vishnu's trick. And so what happens, the demigods say, okay, we're the mode of goodness, demons, you can take the head. No problem. And they took the tail. Because the demons were thinking head is auspicious, tails are inauspicious. But with snakes, heads are inauspicious. Tails are, I wouldn't say auspicious, but they're a lot better. So, because with the head, especially Vasuki, he in the churning of the milk ocean, there was smoke coming out, there was fire coming out, unlimited bad breath coming out. I mean, it was just incredible intoxication, and the demons actually fainted many, many times. So the demons, it's described, got their strength from passion. Now you may think ignorance? No. Demons are not in ignorance, although there's a little speck of ignorance, there's a lot of specks of ignorance. Demons work hard, so they need to be impassioned. Because a demon, like Krishna describes in the Gita, a demon thinks, how much wealth do I have, the more, how much will be my enemy, I will conquer him. So demon is describing the mode of passion, you have unlimited desires. So these demons have unlimited desires. And so they were actually impelled to action by passion. The demigods were impelled to action by goodness. You know, this yoga principle. And Vasuki was impelled to action or inaction. Because he had to be more or less free from pain by ignorance, like Novocaine. So, anyway, so there they were churning the whole thing, and actually, at a certain point, it started to sink into the ocean, and so the Lord had to appear as the Kurma avatar, that is the tortoise, and it's described he was 100,000 miles wide. Now, the circumference of the earth is what? Does anyone know? It's about 24,000 miles. Got it? Remember. 24,000 miles. So it's four times the circumference of the earth. That's a big turtle there. And so he performed the pivot for the Amandara Mountain so it wouldn't sink. And he also engaged the demigods and demons in performing service because he had scratching on his back. And, you know, a tortoise is not really able to reach the back like that. And scratch his own back. And also it's described he had ornaments and they had to be polished. The demigods and the demons were doing that. And Lord Vishnu, just to hold the thing on top so it wouldn't topple, he went on the top with 1,000 arms holding the top. And also the demigods and demons, they got tired of churning the whole thing. So Lord Vishnu had to appear as a jitta. So Lord Vishnu was in several places in this particular pastime. Ajita, he's like one of the demigods, and he's also pulling on the demigod side, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Okay, so then what happens is the first thing that's produced is the bad stuff. Usually you want to get rid of the bad stuff first. That's halakha. It's poison, and it's threatening the whole universe, and everyone's in anxiety. So naturally, you pray to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is told by Bhavani, his wife, Sati, that you have to save, because these are all my children. Actually, we're all the children of Maya or Durga. And so Lord Shiva drinks this poison, halahala poison, and his neck turns blue. He has to get a little blue streak on his neck. Therefore, he's a blue-throated one, he's called sometimes. At the same time, a little bit dripped out. And that went to, like, snakes, scorpions, and other animals that have a poisonous bite. Okay, so that's the first thing that came out. Then after that, Surbi came out, the cow, it was taken by the Brahmanas. Uchayashrava, the horse, came out, and it was taken by Bali. Airavata came out, taken by Indra. I guess previously he had Airavata too, but anyway. So sometimes you see he's given things, or Lord Vishnu has given things that he already has. Eight elephants came out, the Kashuba and Padma Gavani, given to Lord Vishnu. Apsaras, those are the dancing girls, and heavenly prostitutes, they came out and were given to the demigods. Lakshmi came out, and she was looking for her husband. She had a garland. She went to all the men were thinking, me. And she just walked right by them and gave it to Lord Vishnu. And then Varuni came out. Now, we just heard about Balaram drinking Varuni beverage. But in this particular case, Varuni, which signifies intoxication, all forms of intoxication, was given to the demons because the demons like to get intoxicated. And so, anyway. And then finally, Dandantri, the medical incarnation of Krishna, appeared, and he gave the nectar. And they were thinking, let's share this, but what happened is the demons stole it from Dandantri. And they were arguing amongst each other. Actually, that argument amongst each other was coming from Vishnu, who was entering into their consciousness, as he says in the Gita, Matat Smriti Rigyanamabhonamcha. He was causing them to argue with each other because he wanted to delay the whole drinking of the nectar until he could do something about it. So the demigods went to Vishnu and said, what are we going to do? And Vishnu said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So he's taking care of things when people can't take care of it themselves. So it's not that we go to Vishnu every time we want something, and we just sit around doing nothing and saying, Vishnu, you know, please cook for me. Vishnu, please go to work, make money, bring me some money. You don't do that. When you reach the point of, let's see, impossibility of not being able to do something, of against the wall, your back is against the wall, then you can ask Vishnu for something. But ordinarily don't. Don't make him your order supplier. I mean, there's that whole story of the Goswamis in Vrindavan. When Rupa Goswami wanted to make something nice for Sanatana Goswami, then all of a sudden a little girl came and brought him the ingredients of this, like sweet rice, and, you know, milk and sugar and everything like that. And he made it. And Sanatana Goswami asked, where did you get this from? And he said, a little girl came, and then it was understood that it was Radharani, that little girl. Or with Raghunath Das, so he chastised Rupa Goswami. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he was chanting japa along the banks of the Radhakunda, didn't build himself a bhajan kutir. And Krishna had to personally protect him from the tigers, and Radharani had to personally protect him from the hot sun by holding her shawl up. So he got chastised for that. So don't make Krishna your order servant. Order supplier. We are Krishna's order suppliers. Anyway, getting back to the story. So Krishna then assumed the form of Mohini Murti, the most beautiful girl imaginable. And she went before the demons. The demons practically fainted in ecstasy and said that we have this quarrel. Can you actually divide the nectar up equally? And she said, how can you trust me? And the demons said, basically, you're beautiful. We can trust you. You know, logical conclusion. It's called a non sequitur. You know, huh? Are you going to trust everyone who's beautiful, or are you ladies going to trust everybody who's handsome? Would you let the Terminator in and trust him because you think he's handsome? I don't think so. Anyway, so what happened is the demons believe, you know, oh, we can trust you, oh, you're so sweet, and divide the nectar up, and she gave it all to the demigods. Except for one demon who understood what was happening, and that was Rahu. And Rahu had his head chopped off, but he had drunk enough nectar, so the head became immortal. And because the person who told Mohini Murti, or the persons who told Mohini Murti that he was drinking the nectar, that was the sun and the moon. So he has this animosity, continual animosity towards the sun and the moon. So at this particular point, the demons become really angry, tricked again by that Lord Vishnu. Really angry, and Bali has a lot of powers at this point. Even though the demigods have drunk the nectar, they actually become more powerful. Bali brings all of his all-stars, you know, best fighters, and The reason I'm mentioning their names is because they take part in Krishna's pastimes too. The Hebrews Kalanemi and Vipachiti. Now, in Krishna's pastimes, just so you understand what's coming in the future, Kalanemi becomes Kamsa. Vipachiti becomes Jarasandha. So really, this is what's going to happen with these demons after they're ultimately defeated by the demigods. But in this case, Bali uses his demon tricks and defeats the demigods. And then Vishnu appears again to save the demigods. Vishnu takes Kalanemi's trident and kills Kalanemi. And that's the next birth of Kalanemi is as Kamsa after that. And he also kills Viprachitti at that particular time, and he kills Mali, Sumali, Malyuman, and all these different nice demons. And nice demons. And then Narada goes to inform the demons about what's happened. He says, "Hey, you other demons, you're in trouble right now. Vishnu has appeared." You know, so Narada appears to take both sides sometimes because he likes to enjoy these fights between the demons and devotees. And so the demons come in force, and there's one demon that Indra can't defeat because he has the benediction. He cannot be killed by a weapon that's dry or wet. His name is Namuchi. That means not Muchi. Anyway, Namuchi. So Namuchi is fighting with Indra. Indra fires his thunderbolt, which is obviously dry, and it doesn't even affect him. So he's all in anxiety about it. You know, why isn't this demon being affected? And then he hears a voice. You cannot kill him with something that's dry or wet. So Indra develops a foam weapon. And he kills him with foam. So then, almost all the demons are dead. See, back and forth. It's interesting. Like, if you can relate this to some, like, Hollywood movies, like Star Wars, The Dark Side of the Force, you know, etc. So, but it's interesting, they're almost all dead. And Lord Brahma becomes worried because they're almost all dead. Now, why did Lord Brahma worried that all the demons are dead? Because there has to be a balance in the universe. You need some nice demons. So he sends Narada Muni to stop the fight. He said, don't kill any more demons. You know, you demigods, stop it. Let the demons, you know, live. You know, they're supposed to have a place in the universe. And they are. There's actually the sons of Diti. So they have equal rights to the universe. That's also very interesting. Because the purpose of the universe is so that those who are demoniac can become reformed. If you look at, this is called teleology, the study of purposes. You know, why do we have suffering in this world? For reformation. So the reason we have demons and devotees is for reformation. So it's necessary. So, you know, if you meet a demon, just tell them, you know, we're happy for you. This universe belongs to you. So, anyway, so what happens at this point is very interesting. Bali becomes cured by Shukracharya, and he becomes the disciple of Shukracharya. Then, he attacks Indra again, and because he's so dedicated to his spiritual master, Shukracharya, that's another lesson. If you're dedicated to your spiritual master, then you're empowered with the success potency of the Lord. Another case of Bhagavad Gita. Where's our book distributor? Okay. So we got at least two Bhagavad Gita's here sold. Remember, because anyone whose phone goes off, even if mine goes off, then I have to be in trouble. So anyway. So then what happens is the Vahaspati tells Indra, you can't do anything about it. The demons are too powerful. So they go and hide. The demigods hide. And Bali does 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. He's in charge of heaven at this particular point. Now the mother of the demons, of the demigods, sorry, Aditi, becomes very worried because her sons are no longer in charge. And she's looking for her husband, Kashyapa. Finally, he comes back after meditating, goes to work and meditates every day. Comes back after the workday. And she says, my sons, they lost their heavenly kingdom. Kashyapa preaches to her, look, you know, my sons are the demons and the demigods and the Danavas and the Daityas. You know, be equal. She says, no, no, no. what should I do? And he says, well, when in doubt, worship Vishnu. So she begins to worship Vishnu, and she does this thing called the Payo Vrata, which means 12 days of just drinking milk and reciting mantras. And the 13th day, she does an Abhishek. And then after that 13th day, guess who appears? Vishnu. Not Ramana yet. And he says, okay, I agree to be your son. And so that's Lord Vamanadeva. And then to make a long story short, he goes to Bali's sacrifice. Bali washes his feet, says, whatever you want, I will give you. And Lord Vamanadeva basically says, three steps of land. Shukracharya says, that's not a good idea. He's Lord Vishnu. Bali Maharaj says to Shukracharya, previously you told me to worship Lord Vishnu. What's wrong, Gurudev? You're contradicting yourself. And Gurudev tells him, I told you to worship Lord Vishnu to get things, not to give to him. Don't you understand? You worship to get things. You know, that's sometimes people think like that in regard to worshiping Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Oh, Krishna, I want this. Give me a house by the sea. Make my life pleasing to me. Om Jai Jagadi Shri. So sometimes we do that. But actually, don't ask what Vishnu can do for you, but ask what you can do for Vishnu or Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. You know, sometimes I think, Krishna, what? I would like this. Here's my laundry list. Or, you know, two from column A, three from column B. So, but actually, we should ask Krishna, what can I do for you? How can I serve you? Prabhupada said the only question he asked his spiritual master was what? How can I serve you? Not, what can you do for me, Gurudev? So he's asking, Tanya. So, therefore, Bali insists, no, I'm not going to follow your instructions. You're a bogus guru. I don't know if he says that exactly, but that would be an offense. He did commit an offense. Then Shukracharya, he tries to stop this pouring of the water that signifies actually a giving of a blessing or giving a present. And he enters into the water pot. And Lord Vamana takes a little blade of kusha grass and pokes Shukracharya's eye out. And from then on, you see Shukracharya with blind one eye. Even tried to interfere with Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, too. He made some bogus mantras. Nitai Gaur Radhesham Hare Krishna Hare Ram. That was Shukracharya who did that. That's an interesting incarnation of Shukracharya. So, our great grand spiritual master, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, preached very strongly against this in Jagannath Puri. And because so many people follow this incarnation of Shukracharya, they almost rioted. They created a riot, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur had to send Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur out of Jagannath Puri. So anyway, so we know that Lord Vamana, he took first the earth, the sky, and he did the whole. And of course the Ganges came down as a result of that. And he had no place to put his third step of land. And what happened is he arrested Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj then said, you can have my head. And then Lord Ramana said, yes, I accept that. And you and Palat Maharaj can go down in Sutala. In the future you'll become Indra, but right now let the demigods take over. So, this is basically the end. There's more in the 8th canto, like the story of Lord Shiva and Mohini Murti. But I think the 8th canto basically summarized. So the demons were defeated. The demoniac personalities had to go down. The ones who were alive to Sutaloka. And those who were killed, they actually had to take birth and hide out on the Earth planet. And therefore, we had a predominant number of demons who are in charge of different countries and different areas of the world on the Earth planet. And that leads up to the 10th canto. So that's the prequel. So, any questions or comments about this interesting prequel? Yeah?
I have a confusion. I know these are distinguishable difference between Kshatriyas and the demons, but I remember that Parshuram, he claimed that he removed the Kshatriyas like 21 times.
Yes.
And I just want you to elaborate on the difference, like, you know, the Kshatriya, like, you know, totally taking away all the Kshatriyas.
Well, that particular point, the reason he did that, if you go back to the story, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, it has to deal with Kartavirya Arjuna and his sons who stole Dhammadagni's, first of all, they stole the desire cow, and then they killed Parashuram's father. So at that point, the Kshatriyas have developed many, many demoniac tendencies. So there had to be actually an erasure of the Kshatriya race at that point. Later on, because they developed demoniac tendencies, later on the Kshatriya race was started again when the Kshatriya ladies basically got married to Brahmin men, and that produced the next race of Kshatriyas. But sometimes you find people who are acting as Kshatriyas, or like even when Krishna, in the battle for Kshetra, during the Mahabharata and everything like that, you find that there were many people of the so-called Kshatriya races who weren't actually Kshatriyas, who were demons. So sometimes demons will take birth in Kshatriya families, and sometimes demons will take birth in Brahmin families, sometimes demons will take birth in Shudra families. So when they're not actually qualified, then the Lord needs to step in at that particular juncture. So those Kshatriyas weren't actually qualified. Does that make sense? And actually, the whole Kuru dynasty was eliminated. And all the descendants of the Kuru dynasty were eliminated. Now, you may say that Parikshit Maharaj was a descendant of the Kuru dynasty, but he wasn't. If you look at who was Parikshit Maharaj's mother? Uttara. She wasn't Kuru dynasty. Who is the father? Abhimanyu. Okay. And so who was Abhimanyu's father and mother? Arjuna. Who was that? Yeah, going back a little bit. Who was Arjuna's mother? Kunti. She wasn't a member. She wasn't a member of the Kuru dynasty or the that dynasty, was she? And who was the father of Arjuna?
Indra.
Not Pandu. So that whole genetic line was stopped. Think about it. There was a necessity of ending basically the Kuru dynasty after that point. And actually the Yadav dynasty took over. Because the Yadav Subhadra, of course, was from the Yadav dynasty. Got it? Interesting, isn't it? So we shouldn't judge someone by their position or title, if they're, you know, Guru or Kshatriya or Vaiju or Brahman. Judge by quality and work. Chaturvarna Mayashristam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. One is understood to be a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra according to the quality and work, not according to the birth. No janma. No janma. Of course, sometimes having a certain birth helps one. For example, Prabhupada gave the example, if one is born in a family of doctors, let's say your mother's a doctor, your father's a doctor, then it's very likely you're going to become a doctor in your next life. But there's a chance you won't become a doctor. It's not just because your mother's a doctor, your father's a doctor, you have a right to operate. Say, my mother's a doctor, father's a doctor, whole family's a doctor, you know, sit down. Say, ah. No. You know, that's so the same thing, Prabhupada gave that example, the same thing as saying, your mother was a Brahmin, father was a Brahmin. I'm a Brahmin. No. No, let's see. Let's see your qualities. Do you get angry? Yeah. You're not a Brahmin. You get lusty? Yeah. You're not a Brahmin. What else? What else is the quality of the Brahmin? Do you eat too much? Yeah. You're not a Brahmin. Of course, that doesn't mean you should put a camera on someone 24 hours a day, you know, with a webcam. Does he eat too much? How many carrots did he eat today? Okay. How much quinoa did he take? Truthfulness. Yeah, that's a very important point. Truthfulness. So you'd have to see. Some of them are Papakcho, Chalmashanti, Rajavamay, Chakam, Yanamasityam, Brahmakramaswat. These are qualities of Brahma. Okay, I want to show this. So just turn on the TV. I have it already connected. It'll go on. So there's a nice... connected. So there's a nice video about our preaching in China. Just a few minute video, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Here we go. Wait, let's go back to the beginning.
Turn up the volume.
Whoops. That was a mistake. All right, I'll go back.
This is Chinese Krishna consciousness.
Das Thakur also predicted in his Sri Chaitanya Mangala.